listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello there, this is Paul O'Higgins with today's Great Invitation. The Great Invitation goes out from the Father Heart of God to every single human being, inviting us to be restored to the realm of His love, care, blessing, and mercy through the cross, and to be transformed by His Spirit and become agents of His love, mercy, hope, and good cheer to a world around us. In today's Great Invitation, we're going to talk about God's antidote to sin. There is an antidote to sin, and it might surprise you what it is. The antidote to sin is not religion. It's been tried and it doesn't really work. There's a greater antidote to sin than mere human effort. And that's what we're going to speak about today. And we're going to look at some wonderful verses from the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, and we're going to see how Paul reveals God's great antidote to sin, which is, drum roll, it is the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, sin is stronger than our human nature. Sin came into the world like a cancer through the fall and sin of Adam, and it spread to every single one of us. So we find Jesus saying in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7 and elsewhere, out of the heart of man comes lust, anger, jealousy, murder, rage, and he lists 13 different sinful issues of the heart. And these are the things, Jesus says, that defile a man. So all human beings are defiled with these things that issue out of our heart. And then he scolded or critiqued the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the time for cleaning the outside of the cup, what Jesus called cleaning the outside of the cup, making people look respectable on the outside, but not really changing their hearts. And of course, this has been the age-old criticism of Christianity and other religions, that we're hypocrites, that we put on this formal religious good appearance on the outside, but inside we haven't done anything. And Jesus came to solve the problem that religion wasn't able to solve. It could clean a person on the outside by having them to adhere to certain religious practices and look the part. But Jesus's work goes far deeper. It's an inside job. He works at the inside of the cup. Time and time again, the Bible describes us as vessels. We have the treasure, Paul writes, in an earthen vessel. Out of the innermost part of us is coming something that's sinful. Lust, anger, jealousy, rage, and all of these things. And they are defiling us. And God promised through the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel 36:26. And every believer should know this verse, because God promised not only to cover the sins of the world, but to remove the sin element from us. I will take out of their heart, God says, speaking through Ezekiel, the heart of stone, and give them a heart of flesh and put my spirit within them. God comes to deal with the inner heart. A heart is a pump, something within us that's pumping lust, anger, jealousy, rage, murder, and the like, and defiling us. God has come not only to forgive it through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, but to replace that inner defiling pump, something in us that's pumping sinful attitudes, and to replace it with His Spirit. We all know the great verses from Galatians chapter 5, where He says, the works of the flesh, and He lists a long list of sins, a similar list to what Jesus gives in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. The same kind of list that come from within, attitudes that come from within that defile us. But then He shows, but the fruit of the Spirit. You see, in Paul's writing, you often have a description of the negative, and it's usually followed, but, and here it is, the works of the flesh are, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And against such there is no law. There's no need for a law against those. So that He extracts from us the sinful element of our natures and replaces it with His Spirit. And He has the same truth in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. What has been removed? The sinful element of my nature was crucified to the cross with Jesus. From the realm of the resurrection, He breathes on us His Spirit. and he invites us to receive his Spirit. His Spirit is the antidote to sin. The gift of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit that come and emanate from the gift of the Spirit is the antidote to sin. The antidote to sin is not religious effort or religious regulation. The law was powerless, Paul writes in Hebrews. The law was powerless. It was like the X-ray department of a hospital. It was a good thing. It showed you your problem, but it was powerless to fix the problem. The law exposed our sinfulness, but then Jesus gives himself to cover our sin, to restore us to fellowship with God. But he goes further. He implants his Spirit within us as an antidote, as a replacement for the sinful Adamic nature. So the essence of the gospel is the replacement of the Adamic nature we were all born with the Spirit of Jesus, life principle of Jesus to be our life principle. And again, back to Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I'm still alive, but it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, in my body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm drawing from a different life principle. I've buried the old life principle of the ego me, the sinful me, the Adamic me that had in it this sinful nature, sinful aspect. So the problem with our nation and every nation is our land is full of people with these attitudes. Lust, anger, jealousy, rage, violence, and murders. These are the things which defile not just a human being, but a nation. And God has a solution, and it's not more laws. The solution is he wants to forgive us and then cleanse us. And that is why we all, every single member of this nation, needs to come to the Lord and to say, Lord, please forgive me. I accept your forgiveness, but I also need a new nature and a new spirit. And that was the promise of the new covenant. I'll give them a new heart and put my spirit within them. And it's the implantation of a new nature and a new spirit that's the essence of the new covenant. Not more religion, not more exhortations to try harder to do better, but the receiving of the Holy Spirit to be in us as a fountain of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. That's why Jesus, revealing this truth to the woman at the well, recorded in John's Gospel chapter 4, this woman who was battered by life. She had had five husbands and she was living with another man now. And she had been battered with life, like many of us. God, through Jesus with his Father, offered her total pardon, but then spoke to her about the drink of living water. An infilling that would come into her that would change her and cleanse her from the inside out. That's the drink he is offering now to every single one of us to be filled with his Spirit. Tragically, in our evangelical culture, we have paid insufficient attention to the Holy Spirit and his work. The Holy Spirit is the great antidote to sin. And when we don't emphasize the Holy Spirit sufficiently, we tend to return to self-righteousness or to more religious effort. Now, Paul speaks about this issue in Romans chapter 7, this wonderful passage in Romans 7, where he talks about the struggling believer, that the good that he wants to do, he doesn't do, and the evil that he doesn't want to do, he does do. And he says, wretched man that I am, the good that I want to do, I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do, I do do. Romans 7:19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I make a strong resolution not to do this, that I practice. I can't overcome this bad habit by willpower. Now, if I do what I will not do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. There's something driving me against my own wishes to behave in a way that I don't want to behave. That's what he's saying. And then in Romans 7:21, I find then a law that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight, I want to do good, I want to be a good person. I delight in the law of God according to my inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. My will is to do the right thing, but there's something stirring up lust or anger or jealousy or rage in me and bringing me in captivity to the law of sin. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? He feels this wretchedness because he has a soft conscience, but he can't get free from this law of sin. And then Paul, in this great passage, beginning with Romans 8, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's an antidote to this law of death that's pulling me down like gravity. There's another law that's higher than the pull of gravity, the law of aerodynamics, the law of the resurrection life of Jesus. For what the law could not do, rules and regulations, religious rules and regulations, whether they're Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, or Muslim, whatever, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. He took the condemnation on himself, that the righteous requirements of the law might now be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. To walk according to the Spirit is to draw from the life of the Spirit. To walk in the flesh is to draw from the life of self. If you're drawing from the life of self, even to do good, it'll fail. But if you draw from the life of the Spirit, that life of the Spirit will bubble up in you, and you will find bubbling up in you, or flowing up through you, the life of the Lord, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. You have to want it, you have to draw on it, and you have to say, Lord Jesus, live your life through me, rise up in me at every moment of the day, be seen in me. Again, back to Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. The me that couldn't live the righteous life has been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life of Jesus has come into me as a new engine for living. I've been merged with Jesus, and his life is now flowing through me, and his life is sinless. So as long as I draw on his life, I will not be sinning. I'll have victory over sin. The antidote to sin is the resurrection life of Jesus. Not more effort, not determination. In fact, this wretched man in Romans 7, he has to come to the place, I'm not able to live this upright life. And we all have to come to that place. Lord, I'm not able to live this righteous life unless you come inside of me and you stay with me 24/7. I'm not able. I cannot. And I hand over to you to live that life through me. I'm relying on you to show forth your nature and your love to me. So it's no longer you doing it. You become an extension of the river of God's life coming from the throne of grace into your heart and flowing out of you. Christ is flowing into you. Christ is flowing out of you. As you don't rely on self, you rely on him. In Romans 6:6, Paul says, our old man was crucified with Christ. The old person that couldn't live the righteous life was crucified with Christ. And then in Romans 6:11, he says, we're to reckon that old man dead. When Jesus died, we died. We were reckoned in the courts of heaven as failures at living the righteous life. Then God forgave us, resurrected us with Jesus, breathed Jesus' life in us. So now I don't live a separate life from him. He's living his life through me. And this is the wonderful victory, an antidote towards sin. The law of the Spirit of life is the antidote to sin. As this law, which is like the laws of aerodynamics, as it fills you and lifts you, it lifts you beyond sin's power, just like the law of aerodynamics lifts a plane from the pull of the law of gravity. It takes a higher law to overcome the lower law. And it's not effort or willpower that will overcome the power of sin in our lives, but the resurrection life of Jesus. And our part is to expect nothing from our natural life and everything from the resurrection life of Jesus. Let's seal this with a prayer. The invitation is there to switch from the power of Adam to the power of the resurrected Jesus, the power of the law, the Spirit of life. O Holy Spirit, we need you for your life to rise in us as a fountain of love and joy and peace.
Hi, this is Keith Masters, a street witness sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The Inflation Reduction Act that was signed into effect Tuesday, August 16th, allocated $369 billion for global warming. In effect, government-funded programs so they can fix the weather. God says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, for this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. In a December 14, 2009 speech at the Copenhagen Climate Conference, Al Gore, a one-time vice president and presidential candidate and global warming activist, suggested the possibility of the Arctic losing some or all of its ice in the summer months within 5 to 7 years. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who sits on the 14th Congressional District since 2019, has stated that the world will end in 12 years if climate change is not addressed. She wants to fix the weather with government programs. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In layman's terms, that means the second coming of Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 29 says, when he set a boundary for the sea so that the waters would not surpass his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. And Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. This is Keith Masters, a street witness, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
Hello, I'm Charles Stanley. God is amazing in so many ways. One that still leaves me in awe is the fact he's always available to us. When you listen to In Touch, I pray you're encouraged to spend quality time alone with God. We'll study his word for ways to help you enjoy a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We're always in touch when we walk close to God and understand his will for our lives.
In Touch, heard daily at 8:05 a.m. and p.m. right here on WCNO.
There I was, empty-handed, crying out from the pit of my despair. There you were, in the shadows, holding out your hand, you made me there. And now where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You were my rescue story, lifted me up from the ashes, and carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You were my rescue story. You are, you are my rescue story. You are, you are. You write in the pages before I had a name, before I needed grace. Oh, you sing songs of redemption. Every time I write
never gave up on me. You were my testimony. Oh, you never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. You were my testimony. Oh, you never give up on me. Oh, you never give up on me.
All I want to see this temple with your presence. Let your glory fill this place. Lord, we give to you an offering of we bow our hearts now at your entrance. We are breathless and amazed. Let the righteous lift their voices and say, you are holy, you are holy, and only you are worthy to receive all the glory and praise. You are holy, you are holy, and only you are worthy to receive all the glory.